Celia Barnes talking to Maureen Metcalf on the 9th of January 2019.
Yes, talking about the Christmas tree and the carol service. This was originally set up in 1977 when Dr. Mary offered a Christmas tree to the village to be put on the village green. My husband Brian Metcalf started thinking things over and thought that we should have a carol service. So we put one together of readings and carols alternately. We used Alan Lister's trailer as a platform. The pedal organ, which belonged to the chapel, was played by Chris Middleton. And that was the first Christmas service round the tree, which still runs to this day.
Yeah, that's lovely. And you were clerk to the parish council for a long time, weren't you?
I was, 76 to 86. Yeah.
Anything in particular that you dealt with, like the Hof or...?
One of the interesting things that went on was the fact that when I inherited the clerkship, it was all very interesting. Nobody had lost the clerk. No precept had been requested that particular year. So I had to get into discussions with the district council where that comes from the RH really. And I discovered that the parish council was actually using a grant aid for a lawnmower, which they'd never purchased to run the council. It took an awful lot of sorting out when I took the job over. I almost didn't because it had a burial ground attached to it. But we hadn't moved at that time. I had the interview just after we came to live out here. And I was surprised when they gave me the job. There were various people. We all sat there together waiting for the interview. One man was hoping it would give him a bit of beer money. And somebody else was part of an organisation that was meeting, and she didn't want to be too long because she got all the tea and the coffee in a bag at the side of her. And I went in for the interview. And one of the councillors had got a very obvious wig. And, your eyes kept drifting back. And apparently Bill Millington proposed that they set me on.
Oh, right.
And later on, Al Foster, who'd been chairman for quite a number of years, he came with a letter, and Pam was taking over the scene, my eldest daughter. And I just held the letter. He said, aren't you going to open it? And I discovered at that moment I'd become parish clerk. And it was always a sort of an interesting post, really. I'd been in post a year and thought I knew everything.
Right.
Until we had a meeting about compulsory purchase for a playing field. And there was this guy in the audience who kept saying, point of order, Mr. Chairman. I didn't know who he was, but I had him down as Curly in my minutes because he had a shock of golden blonde hair. He later became friend rather than foe, I think. And did quite a lot of work in the village. Yes, and the other thing that they had was up Chapel Street there are now some bungalows which, I don't know, it's on land that belonged to the parish council.
Okay.
And there was a little cottage. And they never increased the rent because there was quite a bit of land there which Tommy used to garden, and it was almost like a bit of an allotment really. But the cottage was in a very poor state. And I used to have to go collect the rent, which was a princely sum of £9 per annum.
Well.
It had never been altered, but I don't think they dare.
No.
Because it was in such poor state. And for quite a number of years, this kept on, and I think right through my clerkship, I'd go up about quarterly to collect the rent. I'd usually have the dog throwing golf balls at my ankles as well. And Nora was always black up to her elbows. We're messing with the fire and always had bright red lipstick on.
Oh, lovely.
So it was quite an interesting job. Anyway, going back to when we'd had this meeting where I realised I knew nothing about the law of parish councils. And there was nowhere then that you could go to be trained. And I had to learn it bit by bit. A lot of it was by probably talking to people who were involved at the district council and Yorkshire Local Councils Association. They would sometimes have training mornings, afternoons, days, and I would go to all of them. And slowly I started to realise that, you know, the Charles Arnold Baker volume would tell you anything you wanted. But the only thing was it had a poor index. And sometimes it was about six tries before you found what you wanted. But I did eventually train myself up, really.
Yeah.
But that was why Brian subsequently, years later, became involved with the Society of Local Council Clerks, because he was a clerk himself,
yeah.
And set up, started to set up training.
Yeah.
And we'd once been to a clerks meeting at Brayton, and a colleague at the Society of Brian's was there. And he said, "Brian, I've a few in this area. Can you train them, please?" So, of course, the venue's number 2, Garth Lane. Yeah. There's about half a dozen of them. So he took them through the course that formed. And it all started from there. It spread right through the country.
Yeah.
And so clerks were able to be informed. There are still a lot of councils who don't take up the training for the clerk. Which is a shame.
It is.
Because you could easily become, you could fall foul of the law.
Yeah.
And most councils are frightened if you claim something, it would be illegal to do it or not lawful.
Yeah.
And they would perhaps have to pay the price.
And moving.
I think actually, training myself up and learning all this, it gave me the go-out to perhaps tackle a bigger council.
Yeah.
And I eventually ended up at Tadcaster, of course.
Yeah.
The first gala that ever took place, it was 1977. And it was the Silver Jubilee, Queen's Silver Jubilee. And Mrs. Holland, who was the headmistress at the time, thought that the village should mark this event and wrote to the parish council asking if a member would go along and all the other organisations in the village. Of course, no member wanted to go, so the clerk ended up going. And we put together a sort of event, and I can't remember what all the things were. Remember the hook-a-duck. But the kind of things that you would have at an event like this. And it was a beautiful sunny day as well. Warm and lovely. And the year afterwards, there was the feeling that the village wanted to continue and the committee who were there. I can't remember everyone who was on, but I remember Graham Robinson was involved. And Diane Crowd's husband's Christian.
Nigel
Crowd, yeah. Are you sure that ain't the son, or does he have the son's name?
That might be the son.
It's, yeah.
But I know who you mean.
Yeah, well, he was on the committee as well, and various other ones. And, you know, they were workers, they all put things together, and the last meeting, we shared everything out between us and just got on with it, really. Brian joined in as a support, because obviously he was looking after the children at night time. So we sort of went on from there. The next year, the committee, and I don't know how, somehow got together again. And I think I just had Jukes. I think Brian was sort of running it that year and organising everything that went on. And I can't remember how long it went on, to be honest. Quite a few years, I think. And on the second one, the councillor who'd had the lovely obvious wig also had a traction engine, which he was putting in the parade. Because we always had a parade. You were able to do things in those days. Not as many cars were coming through Hamilton. Yeah. But we used to apply to the authorities and a policeman would come and stop the traffic. So he came the night before and he said, I'd like to see you on the footplate, Maureen.
Brilliant.
So the day afterwards, I just went rigged in normal clothes and somebody found a disgusting looking boiler jacket to put on me, put some oil in my hand because it was a sort of, you wound it in a circle and you had to be really fast to get this thing to turn. It was huge. So there I was driving along the wrong side of the main road and the traffic stopped and had it all go up Gateford Lane.
Oh, brilliant.
So it was quite an experience, was that. There were a lot of jealous men.
I bet. Yeah.
So that was just a little something that happened. But we always had a parade, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The village hall. The old institute had become in such a poor state that when we were in part of it, the mums would take the children to play school and the heels were going through the floor.
Ooh.
It was in an awful state. And so they decided, the village, that they wanted a proper village hall. Mm. I think this had a lot of support from the players.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was useful for them to be able to rehearse there and perform there. And thus it's always been, you know, used by them.
Yeah.
And other, you know, the other people as well. But they put a lot of work into helping build the village hall. Not build it, but fit it out.
Yeah.
And it was built with, I think, they raised some money themselves, probably some money from the parish council, and certainly quite a generous grant aid from North Yorkshire County Council.
Oh, right.
So that was how it was funded.
Mm.
But as I've said, you know, people, the men locally particularly, did all the fitting out.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what year. I think it was 1985 when it was opened. I managed to get to the opening somehow. I think whether it was because Brian was a councillor at that time, I'm not sure. But I was at the actual opening.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.